This is an ABC podcast.
Hey, Alex Mann here. Just a warning before we get started. This documentary contains some strong language and examples of offensive and racist content.
Don't you love it how I'm just like hanging around the house, just chilling? Then all of a sudden someone's just like, milk stream! I'm like, yeah, fuck it, dude, let's go.
A young guy in his 20s steps out of his house and onto a street on the outskirts of Ipswich. He's dressed in what looks like a kind of skimpy two-piece maid's outfit, complete with a headband and ribbons. As he walks, he films himself live streaming what he's about to do next.
No, all you guys are idiots. No, so not everywhere is fucking California.
No one online knows his real name. His tens of thousands of followers just know him as Catboy Cammy.
All right, here we go. We're at the store chat. Let's get ourselves some milk. I see the milk. I see the milk, chat.
He buys two-litre bottles of milk. He takes them outside and immediately chugs one entire bottle. He then takes the other bottle and right out the front of the shop, he pours the cold milk over his whole body. It's colder than he expects and he shrieks and then smiles to the camera. And then Catboy Cammy runs. Down the road, he gets stopped by police and he's fined for making such a mess. The police give him a lift home, and then soon, he's back at his own front door.
Has anyone ever had a more eventful time going to the shop to drink some milk? I don't think so.
You might be tempted to think that this kind of thing is, while a bit annoying, basically just a harmless prank. And it is true that many of this guy's videos do have that feel about them. But Catboy Cammy has demonstrated that he is definitely not harmless. Since that video was made, Catboy Cammy has crashed through every extreme and social taboo that you can imagine in this kind of accelerating quest for shock and attention. These days, he does all sorts of horrible stuff, like dressing up in blackface.
You got some racks for me?
And confronting kids in random video chat rooms online, and then recording their reactions.
Oh my god.
Officer, I can't breathe!
In other videos, he dresses up in stereotypical Asian costumes.
Oh, I'm racist!
Russian videos about him receive hundreds of thousands of views. His personal Telegram channel has almost 44,000 subscribers, and he's actually made some money off this too. But the thing is, this guy is more than just some racist shock merchant in an obscure corner of the internet. Because with his fame and notoriety, Catboy Cammy has become a useful tool in the expansion of one of the globe's most extreme social movements.
Extremist movements deeply value anybody in their ranks that can get people laughing.
Catboy Cammy has since moved to the US, where key far-right figures have turned his so-called edgy humour into a propaganda tool.
And it's like, because I saw the potential. I saw the obvious potential there.
And his online pranks have morphed into real-world race hate.
I'm Catboy Cammy and I hate niggas.
Did you guys ever feel unsafe in that situation?
Oh yeah, the whole thing felt unsafe.
Now, even the FBI is on his case.
Well, I don't really want to talk about it while there's an ongoing investigation.
So what I want to understand is, how did this young man gain such global prominence and notoriety? And I also want to know who he is. Like, who is this person hiding behind the pseudonym Catboy Cammy? What's his real name? And who is he when he turns off his computer? To answer those questions, I'm going to go back to the person who first told me about Catboy Cammy. Someone who spends a lot of time researching this sort of stuff online. And it's a voice that might be familiar to some ABC listeners.
Earlier this year, maybe starting in March, I was digging into a whole range of Australian far-right Telegram channels. And I think in one of their channels, I came across a video of a kid with blackface, and it was pretty disturbing.
Ariel Bogle is a tech reporter for the ABC.
I had been looking at a lot of far-right content, so I was pretty, not blasé, but kind of numb to a lot of it.
But this video was different.
It was such like a good example of the weaponization of humour in the far-right movement. It sort of dared you to get offended or think it was gross or get upset by it. And if you did that, it kind of got you. The point was to make you upset. And so it kind of did succeed with me, obviously.
She was disgusted, but also very intrigued. Who was this young Queenslander so good at getting a rise out of people? And what drew him from Ipswich all the way to the US? So instead of shutting the computer and walking away from Catboy Cammy's antics, she decided to keep digging.
I just wanted to look into him further. I mean, it's a big challenge. Like, he's really done quite a bit of work to make sure he's hard to track down.
On top of that, Catboy Cammy has been kicked off almost every mainstream social media and broadcasting platform. The stuff left behind has mostly been uploaded by others.
It's kind of like sorting through the detritus of somebody's experience online. A lot of the videos that have been uploaded on, say, YouTube seem to have been uploaded by fans who recorded some of their favourite clips of his from the past and re-uploaded them. They come up, they come down. It's just all over the internet. You're kind of piecing together this picture of about 2 to 3 years worth of online streaming that's been scattered all over the internet.
So when Ariel tells me about her search, I decide there's a story here. She says no matter how hard it may be to find him, we have to try. Because what Catboy Cammy does isn't just an online joke. This kind of stuff has real-world consequences.
It's kind of a warning, right? Like, we did spend years unsure whether to take this kind of content seriously, whether to take the kind of outrageous statements said by far-right figures online seriously, whether we should just consider it a joke and dismiss the content of what they were saying because it was so outrageous and seemed so impossible. But in the past year or so, we've seen what can happen in the United States, and we've discovered that people don't always take it as a joke, and they do indeed see it as sometimes a call to arms.
Ariel and I decide to go back to the start, back to the milk video. We're looking for anything that could lead us to his real identity, or to someone who might know it.
The milk video is an interesting one, and it's actually been one of the nicest ones to sort of geolocate, because helpfully he pours milk all over himself in front of a bakery, which is called the Rosewood Bakery.
Straight away, we have a suburb. Then, on a seedy internet chat board, we find this thread dedicated to sharing and discussing Catboy Cammy's content. On it, there's this recent post claiming to show real estate photos of his house in Rosewood near Ipswich. And when I look closely, it's clear that it's the house from the milk video. It's a promising lead, but when I call the place, the number's been disconnected.
Please check the number before calling again.
And he's moved on. Another dead end. Then we find another video, filmed at the pub, just around the corner from that house in Rosewood.
Oh, you got the hospital mask.
He's sitting at a table opposite a woman who looks to be about in her 40s. They're waiting for a meal or something, and there's a TV playing a rugby game in the background.
All right.
Who did you say it was, Batman?
Hang on. Hold it in front of you. Right?
The video description says that the woman you can hear is his mum.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, no, I'll tell you what to say.
Which is most of my life.
But neither of them use their names. And when we call the pub, they don't know either of the people in this video. We spend hours tracking people whose faces and names pop up in these videos. But Ariel and I, we're getting nowhere.
Do you want to message that Will dude? I don't know if that's him, but it could be.
Yeah, sure. I'll message the Will dude.
I mean, it's just some guy he met at Oktoberfest.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm getting a bit desperate at this point, so sure. That's a dead end too. I don't know. What do you reckon? Like, where to next on this?
It's a great question. I think it's an interesting one because it's clearly this is somebody who's put a lot of effort into distancing his Queensland life from his new life, I guess, as a far-right media personality. Yeah, it's a real struggle, like, to ground him in his Australian reality. Like, what was it like to go to school with this guy? Was this a strange right turn for him, or was he always going to have a life like this? Like, these are all the questions I would love to know the answer to.
There is one angle that we haven't pursued yet. There is a lot of talk online about how the FBI has been interested in Catboy Cammy.
He's had some kind of interaction with US law enforcement, which we're still yet to really know the full parameters of.
I decided to reach out to some US contacts, and they promised to make some calls. A few days later, I get a text, and with it, a name. A name that Catboy Cammy has kept hidden for years. His full name is Tor Gustafsson Brooks. With a name, everything else starts to fall into place, and I managed to track down his dad. He doesn't want to do an interview, but we talk for nearly an hour. This, along with some online research by another ABC colleague, has allowed me to piece together some parts of Tor's life story. So here's what I've found out so far. Tor was born in Gothenburg, Sweden, in 1997 or 1998, but he moved back to Australia when he was young. And he grew up around Indooroopilly in Brisbane.
Command, first recon is on the deck.
He'd play video games with his dad and his brother. Games like Section 8.
Deactivate those cannons. The rest of you secure the perimeter.
Tor played under the name Kamikaze, and he had an ambitious vision for his online future. He saved his pocket money to buy Bitcoin, and he looked up to global online superstars like the biggest live streamer in the world, PewDiePie.
Link in the description. Thanks for supporting the channel. Let's get on with the video.
At home, Tor and his brother were encouraged to speak freely, and nothing was taboo. In the last few years of high school, he'd started adopting these so-called edgy usernames, and I gotta warn you, these are pretty gross. He used to call himself stuff like Tiberian Gay Cunt, When I Come in Her Hair, and later on, Raped in the Privates. I managed to track down one of his classmates from high school. His name is Jack.
How do I explain this? He didn't have a lot of social skills. The dude was very, you know, didn't know how to talk to people correctly. It was very weird, didn't really understand how people work.
Despite this, Jack and Tor had a few things in common.
Because he would talk to me because I was also into, I would play, you know, I was into gaming, but not at the level like he was at. This was all he would do.
Jack says they both used to play Modern Warfare 2, and people playing these games often used pretty vile language.
There was like kids his age saying, you know, the N-word, you know, calling each other, a lot of racial slurs, and there was no censorship.
While Jack noticed it and recoiled, he says that Tor seemed to relish it.
And he thrived in those type of areas. Like, he could say whatever he wanted and do whatever he wanted, and he knew nothing was going to happen.
There's one interaction from those school days that even now is fresh in Jack's mind.
I remember him and this other dude who was also Asian would get into this argument that who was better at COD.
COD, that's C-O-D, as in Call of Duty, which is a first-person shooter game.
I think it was Call of Duty Black Ops. And so this is during a Vietnam set era. And he said, I bet you'd always pick the gook and hide in the trees. I remember that very clearly because it was very like, holy shit. Like, you know what I mean? It was very like, it just kind of blew everyone away how he was openly say it. And in his mind, he thought it was kind of funny banter because he would be the only person laughing.
Tor finished high school in around 2015, and by 2019, he was live streaming from that house in Rosewood where he filmed the milk video. Online, he started calling himself Lolly Socks.
Lolly Socks, L-O-L-I, and then Socks.
His humour was getting even more offensive. It was increasingly targeted at children.
Okay, that is not funny. You're being racist. How can you do that?
At one point, he was streaming 24 hours a day, for days on end. He was getting thousands of new followers in places like the US and Russia, and earning real money. He became the seventh highest earning streamer on a popular alternative to YouTube called DLive. Then, with his profile still on the rise, he suffered a massive setback.
What a crazy 3 months. Ladies and gentlemen, what you are witnessing is an unstoppable force versus the immovable objects of big tech.
He lost access to two of the internet's biggest streaming platforms.
I have been banned for the most innocuous shit, more than probably anyone ever, especially within this time frame. But I'm not dead yet, so I'm not gonna stop. I can't even begin to think of what the fuck I would do if I wasn't a streamer.
Tor Brooks had bigger plans for his online persona, and they'd take him a long, long way from home.
So, as long as I'm alive, and as long as I have some vague ability to do so, I'm gonna fucking stream. And I'm gonna be the best.
I first came across Catboy Cammy while he was on YouTube streaming one night. One of his streams got fairly popular and picked up by YouTube's algorithm under the live section.
Jared Holt spends a lot of time trawling through horrible online content. He's an expert on homegrown extremism and the ways that it's organized and inspired by things online.
This is a very dark and toxic type of place to be, both in ideology and also just where it exists online.
So to begin with, he thought Catboy Cammy was just another right-wing troll.
And I remember watching it and kind of wondering what it was, but not thinking too much about it.
Then in late 2019, Catboy Cammy popped up again.
So let's rock and roll out of here. You ready to rock and roll?
I'm ready to rock and roll, man.
This time, he was in America, chatting and joking side by side with one of the US's most high-profile white nationalists, a guy called Nick Fuentes.
Are you making fun of Americans there?
No, I don't even know who I'm making fun of, honestly.
This time, Jared took notice.
You know, it seems that it sort of speaks to, one, his personal friendship and closeness to people who aren't just shitposters, but are serious organizers in the white nationalist movement. And also the degree to which, you know, him as a Australian sees part of himself in what's happening in the US.
Nick Fuentes is a racist. The kind of racist who questions whether the Holocaust really happened. He was at the infamous white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, 2017. That same year, he started his own YouTube channel that he called America First.
Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We've got a great show for you tonight. Let me just check in.
And he's become the de facto leader of this Gen Z white nationalist movement called the Groypers. Nick Fuentes sells his far-right vision in a suit and tie. So he's not an obvious match for someone who presents as a messy internet troll like Catboy Cammy.
You know, people at the time were like, why did you hang out with that guy? It just seems so random. Why would you do it? And it's like, because I saw the potential. I saw the obvious potential there. And it's all the reasons that he's succeeding now. It's because he has a good sense of humor. It's because he's good looking. It's because he has demonstrated this repeatability that he's able to achieve, like, viral moments, and he's able to retain a streaming audience. I recognized all those components early on. And now here we are, you know, 6 or 7 months later, he's a breakout success. And it's like, I'm not going to take credit for this success, but the credit that I will take is saying that I had the eye for it. I saw the potential, and here we are. So,
compared to Nick Fuentes, Jared Holt says that Catboy Cammy's audience is pretty small.
Catboy Cammy has a considerable audience, ranging in the tens of thousands as far as regular viewership, which in the broad scheme of the internet is still quite small. But when we look at who that audience is comprised of and the activity that that audience participates in online, it's a very toxic and very dedicated audience. So even though it is small, it is capable of generating waves of harassment in addition to perpetuating all kinds of nasty things online.
Today, Catboy Cammy's name is synonymous with his most extreme content. His videos are a mix of racial stereotypes and hardcore shock tactics. In one, he dresses up in blackface and an afro wig, and while brandishing a gun, he scours the video chat platforms for black kids to taunt.
Shoot, I dare you.
You dead,
In another, he dresses up as a policeman and kneels on an effigy he's made in the likeness of George Floyd.
Officer, I can't breathe!
Hate groups and racists flock to his content, sharing his videos and posting propaganda and links to their own groups. You can literally watch as they channel his audience towards political action motivated by race hate. Jared Holt says that the global white supremacist movement needs people like Catboy Cammy.
I think the constant use of these racial slurs, this offensive, forms of Holocaust denial and portrayals of violence, I think can have a very quick desensitizing effect with people. And extremist movements are always looking to build, especially with younger audiences. You know, and you pair that with the fact that extremist movements also deeply value anybody in their ranks that can get people laughing or can be entertaining, because that has proven to be a really potent gateway to getting people, you know, directed towards the more sincere content, if you will.
By mid to late 2020, Catboy Cammy's popularity was reaching its peak. He'd been making connections with the who's who of American far-right internet celebrities, everyone from Milo Yiannopoulos to Richard Spencer, and white supremacist streaming stars, like this guy calling himself Baked Alaska.
So yeah, I guess the best way to always find Cammy's streams would be go to Telegram, Fatboy, Salami.
Politically, the US was in turmoil.
With Joe Biden on the verge of victory and a defiant Donald Trump intent on holding the White House, all signs point to a battle ahead.
As it became clear that Trump had lost the election, Catboy Cammy's new associates, Nick Fuentes and other key organisers of the US far right, they saw another opportunity to take their online movements offline and into the real world, and Catboy Cammy went with them.
I remember when the Stop the Steal protests started going around, there was a lot of talk. A prominent neo-Nazi blogger wrote about the protests as, you know, quote, the most important thing, unquote, that people could be doing with themselves right now if they cared about white nationalism as a cause. So it was very much like a make or break type of thing for them, and it certainly drove a lot of them out into the streets.
For people around the world. We have to continue to fight, brothers and sisters. We've been out here since Wednesday.
4 days after the 2020 US election, it became clear that Joe Biden would be the next US president. And his political opponents were outraged.
Am I right? Just the legal vote. Yeah.
Legal vote!
Legal vote!
This was the day that the kid from Queensland showed how far he'd come.
We are the resistance!
Yeah! It started with attention-seeking pranks on Brisbane's outskirts and ended up here, on the streets of Phoenix, Arizona, at one of the major Stop the Steal rallies, parroting Nazi conspiracy theories about the lies of the Jew.
These rats in human disguise and their puppets revel in watching us kill ourselves! We will not fall for their evil tricks again! We will not fall for the lies of the Jews this time! This time we know our war is with them!
He seems unhinged, like he's lost it. But as he walks away from the chanting crowd, he looks into the camera with a knowing smile.
Everyone heard me when I said the lies of the Jew, right? They heard that part, right? Everyone's like tapping on the back, you're a true patriot. Like, wait, was it really that easy?
He mingles in the crowd, and you can see that he's enjoying himself. It's like he's built this profile over many years, and it's finally paying off. Fans stop him for photos.
Dude, what's up? I love you. Oh. Like, not in a weird way. This is my husband.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Can I have a picture?
Yeah, sure.
I'm like,
big fan.
In Catboy Cammy's video, you can see many of the people who would later storm the Capitol building. The QAnon shaman is there, easily identifiable with his Viking horns and bellowing voice. And the guy accompanying Catboy Cammy on this day is called Baked Alaska. Later, he too would storm the US Capitol building and even enter Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi's office.
Okay. Hello. Hello, US Senate. Yes, we have a fraudulent election I would like to report. Yeah, we need to get our boy Donald J. Trump into office. Yeah.
Across town in another part of Phoenix, a group of young women were in a very different state of mind.
We actually made our own posters with, like, we went to Walmart and then we cut them in half and then we just did the Biden, like, logo on it. And then we had one that said, fuck Trump 2020. And we were just, like, holding them up.
The two groups would soon collide. Daisy was 17 and in a mood to celebrate.
We were so happy and relieved that Biden won. So it was really, really exciting.
She and her three sisters formed a group with a handful of other Biden supporters, and they positioned themselves across the road from a group of Trump supporters.
And we walked to the corner right across the street from the Trumpies. We, like, were right across the street from them. So at that point, like, we got all, like, we got their attention.
This was kind of what Daisy and her sisters wanted, a celebration in the face of 4 years of fear and anxiety. And mostly things were civil. That is, until a new group of young men turned up and the mood shifted.
There was a point when it got, like, really heated because there was a lot of people and so everyone started shoving. So it went from being a celebration to, like, people were in our face, like, people were screaming for us. So we're black hair, like, dark features, like, you can tell that we are Mexican and Hispanic. And then the Australian guy, I remember hearing him.
I'm Catboy Cammy and I hate n****s.
It was Tor Brooks, aka Catboy Cammy.
Y'all, you're fucking racist!
Yes,
he was just totally ruthless, mean, evil. Him and his people were the ones who were insulting us, yelling, go back to Mexico, build that wall, saying also sexist things about women, like women shouldn't vote. And so it was just getting really heated, and the police actually had to come and, like, tell everyone to back off.
Did you guys ever feel unsafe in that situation?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing felt unsafe. I almost felt, like, scared that one of them were gonna, like, throw hands or shoot their guns. Like, it was pretty scary.
But the fear they felt that day was just the beginning of their run-in with Catboy Cammy. Because what the sisters didn't realise was that they were about to become fodder for yet another video. They say a video of the confrontation was posted to Facebook.
That was insane, because when I saw that video, it just popped up on my For You page, I think, like, the day after, or maybe, like, 2 days after. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I saw this guy. I was like, this is literally him yelling at us.
A BuzzFeed journalist wrote an article about the encounter, and they too soon became a target, buried in a deluge of online hate. The journalist was forced to temporarily disable her social media accounts just to protect herself. Jared Holt says that this is just one example of the real impact of what Tor Gustafson Brooks does online, and he says Tor needs to be held to account.
Catboy Cammy's actions have, you know, traumatized people. They have targeted children. He's connected to an active white nationalist organizing network that is seeking to push very brutal agenda items and targeting minorities. I think it is incredibly important whenever we find figures like this, to the degree that we're able and to the degree that it's appropriate, to, you know, kind of tell a fuller story of who they are. Because the way that we can kind of try to deter people from joining on to these bandwagons is by bringing a certain degree of accountability to it.
Now that the mask is off, I want to know what Tor Brooks will say. But even though I know his real name, he's not actually that easy to find. I track him to Scottsdale in Arizona, but I can't find an exact address. So I contact him on his remaining social media platforms, but he doesn't respond. His dad tells me that if Tor hasn't responded, he probably doesn't want to talk. So it seems like whatever accountability is coming for Tor, it won't be in an interview with me. In the months following that street rally, Tor Brooks goes kind of quiet. He's banned from almost every online streaming platform. His followers in Russia and the US beg him to keep streaming, and they speculate wildly about his absence. The FBI cracks down on his friends over their involvement in the January 6 insurrection, and that guy known as Baked Alaska gets charged for entering the Capitol building. Then, finally, a new video pops up on Catboy Cammy's Telegram channel.
Proof of life, I guess.
Tor looks rattled. He has a cut on his forehead.
A little bit dinged up there. Yeah, so I was raided earlier, and, I don't really want to talk about it while there's an ongoing investigation.
My sources inside the FBI have confirmed that Tor was interviewed in February 2021. I've asked the FBI and they declined to provide any more details.
Hey yo, George Floyd! You know what day it is? What day that, my nigga? We gonna watch Buck break it. Oh, yeah!
Since then, Tor Brooks' online streaming has slowed right down. One of his more recent videos is this excruciating 2-hour-long live stream. He's dressed in blackface again, dissecting a documentary as it plays in the background.
This was entirely made and produced by black people, so it wouldn't surprise me if the quality not very good.
He seems tired and relieved when it finally ends.
Fucking hell, that dragged on, didn't it?
He promises to send the DVD packet to one of his viewers. He grabs a marker and signs his name Catboy Cammy on the front cover. Underneath that, he draws a large swastika. Then it's time to go.
But yeah, I guess that's everything. I hope you guys enjoyed the documentary.
This whole world that Tor Brooks now moves in, the rally antics, the hyper-racist trolling, the ultra-right-wing US celebrities, it all seems so distant from where he grew up in Queensland. And you could argue that what Catboy Cammy has become is a product of another place and another culture. but I reckon that's too easy. Because Tor Brooks is not the first far-right extremist that Australia has exported. Jared Holt says white supremacy is a global movement.
I think it's important that we understand that white nationalism as a cause is a movement that spans continents and spans countries and spans even sort of veins of ideology and language barriers as well. It's really a global movement, and the internet has made, you know, what typically would be a slower process of cross-pollinating ideas and propaganda into an instantaneous one.
Now the world will know Catboy Cammy's real name, so Tor Brooks can no longer hide behind an online persona. But Jared Holt thinks we might not have seen the last of Catboy Cammy.
You know how somebody like Catboy Cammy evolves from this. Where he goes from here is kind of hard for me to conceptualize, but I certainly don't think that he's going away anytime soon.
Background Briefing sound producers are Lila Schunner and Ingrid Wagner. Additional research by Ariel Bogle. And a big thanks to Kevin Nguyen for his help again. Sound engineering by John Jacobs and fact-checking by Dunya Karagic. The supervising producer on this story was Tim Roxburgh. Our executive producer was Alice Brennan. And I'm Alex Mann. You can subscribe to Background Briefing on the ABC Listen app. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.